So just to put context, this is COP. This is a train in the middle of nowhere out of Glasgow. And I'm so happy to meet Lexi on the train.
This is The Butterfly Effect, a podcast that shows the big impact a small action can do. Tali Orad is talking to those special people that make a difference with nature and trees.
Welcome everyone to The Butterfly Effect. My name is Tali Orad. I'm your host and your butterfly here. And this is a COP26 Glasgow episode. It's a special episode where I bring my microphone to COP26, the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow, Scotland, and speak with people right here, at the Green Zone, on the street, on pavilions, and even on the train. This episode shares my conversation with three women sharing three stories, 5 minutes each. For those who do not know, in 1995, the first conference of the UN parties took place in Berlin, and it is referred as COP1. Since we have yearly COPs, obviously missing one for 2020 due to COVID-19 pandemic, I want to point out COP21 as a landmark. Back in 2015, we had COP21. That is where the Paris Agreement was signed. The Paris Agreement is a legally binding international treaty on climate change. It was adopted by 196 parties at that COP in Paris on the 12th of December 2015 and entered into force on November 4th, 2016. Its goal is to limit global warming to well below 2, preferably 1.5 degrees Celsius, compared to pre-industrial levels. To achieve this long-term temperature goal, countries aim to reach global peaking of greenhouse gas emission as soon as possible to achieve climate neutral world by mid-century. The Paris Agreement is a landmark in the multilateral climate change process because for the first time, a binding agreement brings all nations into common cause to undertake ambitious efforts to combat climate change and adapt to its effects. COP26 is another landmark where we were here to see if we can achieve the goal and have a plan for the future. Spoiler alert, we still did not achieve this goal. However, some of COP26 achievements are quitting coal, slashing methane emission, phasing out of new gasoline-powered vehicle, the US-China agreement, and agreement of stopping deforestation, and the net zero emission pledges for the coming decades. In my view, many of the aspirations voices at the conference are already being enacted on the ground. Innovators, entrepreneurs, climate activists, these are small companies, academic researchers, NGOs like One Trillion, and even just individuals, all pulling together nifty inventions and crafty business plans that aim for less waste, more efficiency, and all manner of climate change mitigation. So now let's get to the point. Three women, 5 minutes each, glimpse of Glasgow. I'm starting with Lexi, an environmental scientist. I met Lexi on the train heading out of the city after a long day at the conference. Lexi represents Global Choices, a women-based nonprofit organization working towards protecting our oceans.
I'm Lexi Haskins. I am from Denver, Colorado, and I work for Global Choices and also an Arctic Angel. And with Global Choices, I am an environmental science and researcher, or environmental science and policy researcher. And we are an intergenerational group of women, and we are working on protecting the Arctic sea ice as a global commons because it is such a crucial piece of the environment for our global system and our oceans and the winds and everything that comes together with, especially climate change, is happening so intensely in the Arctic. It's three times as fast in the Arctic, and it's pretty devastating. And right now, the Arctic sea ice is melting super fast, and come 2035, and they say for sure by 2050, but many scientists are saying it's much sooner, that it'll be ice-free, and it's going to have huge devastating changes that we can't even fathom but can have guesses on. And it's extremely important to protect it. It is a global commons as of right now in the central Arctic, but there are some people in countries who think that it is theirs, so we are trying to have a precautionary approach to this and to say, hey, science doesn't know what's going on yet, so how about we wait?
And what's so special that it's just women?
It is just women because it is, women are the most impacted by climate change. We are not represented as well, and we don't have voices at the table, and it is starting to change, which is a very important piece, and I am seeing it. And like I heard the other day at COP that in the EU, no, maybe not EU, I think it's the UK, it's a 50-50 split in their legislation or the politicians, and it's important, but they raise these complaints that there's only two women represented here at their delegates, and there's, I think, maybe, like, I want to say 11 men. Don't quote me on that, yeah, but it's more that it's quite shocking, and today was Gender Day, and it was really interesting to see some of the panels, and, I mean, women have been really, like, brought, like, volumized here. Because it's just wonderful, and it's what's supposed to happen, and the youth as well, and women are the most impacted because they hold the brunt of everything we birth, and especially in places in the global south, women are most impacted the most. They have to do the daily tasks that keep life going for their family.
That's so true. And what are you trying to achieve in this COP?
We are trying to spread awareness about the polar ice crisis and trying to make people aware that just because the Arctic is out of reach, it doesn't mean that it's out of touch for them. It's felt everywhere around the world. Every impact of the melting sea ice impacts their daily lives, whether they know it or not. It does.
And what do you find the biggest challenge for you now?
Oh no. Communicating it effectively to people who doubt it. I think that's how everybody feels, but it's connecting it to them at their home and making it feel like, so how do we connect the loss of, like, droughts in the Sahara or changing in monsoons in India? And people are very questioning, how does this happen? We don't know, and it's now connecting the puzzle pieces, and it's quite frankly, we can connect that to the Arctic sea ice because it's interrupting the jet stream and the ocean circulations, and when that happens, it floats into other parts of the world, and unfortunately, it's impacting those that are, who should not be impacted the most and who cannot afford it.
Okay, so I'll finish with what I ask everybody on my podcast, and that's, what's your favorite tree?
Aspen trees, because it reminds me of home. And aspen trees are, like, one of the biggest species in the world, because they're all interconnected, and they're, like, the same organism, all the cells. And they're all so interconnected, it just reminds me of people together and how we are all roots for each other and here to support.
That is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
My next guest is Elsbeth. She interviewed me at one of the pavilions. We spoke deeply about my work with the trees and communities at 1 Trillion. And at the end of our interview, I pulled out my recorder and flipped the order. This time, I interviewed her.
My name is Elsbeth Parsons. I'm from Edinburgh, but I live in London, and I work for a company called Arrival.
What do you do in Arrival?
I make films for them, so I'm a film director, and we're just trying to tell some of the big stories about their ambition and what they're trying to achieve in the world with electric vehicles.
And what brought you to COP?
We're just keen to listen, really, to this moment in culture and understand how we can fit into it and amplify it with the tools that we have. We're covering some of the more kind of corporate conversations, but for the rest of the time we're talking to people.
What is the most important thing you have learned that you would like to share?
I suppose I've been impressed with how much integrity there is in how people are thinking about the climate crisis and finding solutions. Like, there's very low tolerance for kind of tokenism and a way of thinking that is the same old way of thinking, kind of accountancy mindset of offsetting or, you know, just making more things to solve the problem. Like, I've been really impressed at how everybody's brought a very kind of different discourse to talking about solutions and problems.
What will you take back home?
An even greater sense of urgency and clarity about, you know, not messing around. Like, we've got to be really clear-headed because there is no time to waste. And all of us in our different positions with our different platforms need to be really focused in using them to useful ends for the planet.
Wonderful. What is your favorite tree?
My favorite tree. Can I have a top five?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I love an old oak. But I recently met hornbeams, and they're good. They're very strong. I love rowans, especially at this time of year when they're on fire, and they have a kind of beetrooty or mustardy. And then sometimes they have little pink berries instead. That's quite exciting. I love being in the skirt of a weeping willow in the wind. And I love beech trees, really, just for the colour. They're so generous with their colour at this time of year, like proper gold when the light comes through them. Yeah, I like looking at trees. I like being among them. I find it very centering.
I love this poetic description of trees. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Last but not least is Jessica. We met on the Clyde Riverbank. This is a river going through the city. While we were both walking to and from the green zone. Jessica works with seaweed, but I'll let her share what she does and what she thinks.
So my name's Jessica, I'm from the UK, and so I'm the Corporate Affairs and Impact Manager at a seaweed processor. We turn sustainably farmed seaweed into products such as food ingredients, nutraceuticals and cosmeceuticals products, and we're also turning seaweed into alternative plastics and innovative materials.
That is amazing. What are you trying to achieve when you are here at COP?
So we're a company that's based in Scotland, so just down the road from Glasgow, and we really want to be part of the discussion and really want to influence policymakers to make sure that they're making the right decisions for people health and planet health.
And what have you seen so far that stayed with you?
So we've had some really great meetings with people that are working on how to get greater investment into ocean businesses and ocean startups, and that's really stayed with me. There's some really passionate people in the ocean economy and blue economy industries, and I'm just totally inspired by the work that they're doing.
What do you see the value in seaweed when it comes to carbon emission? I'm assuming it's very much close to trees.
So seaweed can be a real wonder crop. It has incredible powers for carbon absorption, and it requires no fertilizer, no pesticides, no fresh water, and obviously no land to grow. So seaweed can play a really important role in carbon absorption. In partnership with trees, it's a land-based friend.
Is there anything that us, the normal people, the regular people, can do in that space?
So the seaweed farming has becoming kind of increasingly done by coastal communities. We see it as a really important way of diversifying for kind of job creation within rural coastal communities where fishing may have been a traditional enterprise. And we really want to see kind of sustainable and responsible seaweed farming that contributes to great economic growth and job creation.
Yeah, this is very hopeful.
Absolutely, we're very hopeful and buoyant on the idea of seaweed being a really important tool for our environment and for the people.
Thank you. Do you have a favourite tree?
My favourite tree has probably stuck with me since childhood with playing with conkers, so it's the horse chestnut tree.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much.
No worries, nice to meet you.
So here you have it, 3 women, 5 minutes, sharing their stories and their work toward a better future. I would like to finish with my story at COP. Tali Orad, the butterfly representing the trees. The first major deal at COP was the agreement committed by more than 100 world leaders to end and reverse deforestation by 2030. You can imagine how excited I was to hear that. What I'm still waiting to hear is the plan on how this is going to unravel. How are we going to reverse deforestation? The ecological value of trees to our environment is undeniable. When we only look at trees as a technology for solving climate change, we are missing an incredible opportunity to do something much bigger, to not just protect the planet and mitigate climate change, but also foster and support communities that live on it. When it comes to planting trees with communities, we need to think globally but act locally. We should consider how we plant and ask ourselves, who do we plant for? Not what do we plant for? Repositioning the tree's role in humans' life, not just as a carbon sequestrator, but as a force to meet people's daily needs, while at the same time allowing community to reconnect to nature, answers this call. Trees are not another unique technology. They have a bigger role to play in the grand scheme of things and in our communities. We need to make sure we are not missing it. So thank you again for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode from Glasgow. And remember, we are all beautiful butterflies, each in his and her individual way. All we need to do is act, flap our wings to make the change we so desperately need.
And that's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. Please subscribe to hear more of our stories of change.